Usually when we talk about city planning, there's this expectation of precision. Like you lay down a grid, zone the blocks, and a developer just points to a map and says, build it there.
Right. It's very calculated, visible progress, neatly categorized.
Yeah, exactly. But then you step into the village of Rhinebeck, New York, and, well, that modern blueprint is just completely useless. You're looking at a town layout that is delightfully stubborn.
It really is.
So today we're doing a deep dive into an editorial in The Edit. We're looking at this seemingly impossible mission, which is, how did one single building from 1766 effectively inoculate an entire village against modern chain store sprawl and, preserve its independent soul?
It's a remarkable case study in how a town can be protected rather than just added to. I mean, it all starts with the Beekman Arms.
Right, the inn.
Exactly. It was rebuilt in 1766 by a Dutch builder using heavy timber and stone. And it's actually America's oldest continuously operating inn.
Wait, really? The oldest?
The oldest. It hasn't closed its doors once since the Stamp Act crisis, meaning it was serving drinks a full decade before the Revolutionary War even started.
Oh, wow. The history there is just wild. I mean, George Washington stopped there.
Yeah, he did.
And FDR concluded four of his political campaigns, like two for governor and two for president speaking, right from its front porch.
Right. It even hosted Morgan Lewis during that bitter 1804 gubernatorial race against Aaron Burr. So it was housing half the feud that ultimately killed Alexander Hamilton.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because why does that matter for town planning? Did all that political prestige somehow protect the real estate?
Well, it gave the town immense leverage. That constant influx of high-profile political attention and, the money that came with it meant the local shopkeepers and tavern owners had their own independent wealth.
Got it. So they weren't a struggling outpost waiting for a savior.
Exactly. That continuous operation created a permanent, powerful center that the village never really had to invent.
I picture it like a solar system. Most towns build outward toward a center over time. But Rhinebeck built around an existing sun.
That is a great way to put it.
Yeah, the inn was there before the U.S. even existed, forcing the streets and the shops to simply fit their orbits around it. But wait, so what does this all mean for the massive Gilded Age money that arrived in the 19th century? Why didn't someone like the Astors just buy up the town and bulldoze the tavern to build a private estate?
Well, because the village core was already too established. It was too economically independent to be easily swept away. So the immense wealth had to find a different orbit.
Oh, so they had to build further out.
Right. The heritage estates built by the Astors at Ferncliff, the Millses, the Livingstons, and the Suckleys at Wilderstein.
Wilderstein, right. Where Daisy Suckley famously gave FDR his dog, Fala.
Yeah, exactly. They all built these monumental homes half a mile away, right at the river.
They essentially built a moat of mansions.
They did, yeah. And wealth shapes a town by what it doesn't do. By staying at the river, the elites let the working Main Street remain completely independent.
Meaning they provided patronage, but they couldn't absorb the village into a private company town estate.
Precisely. The residential geography stayed permanently separate.
Okay, so that geographic moat protected them from 19th century tycoons. But how does a tavern hold off a 20th century strip mall? Because, you can't just rely on history when a corporate developer shows up with millions of dollars.
You rely on legal architecture. In 1979, the Rhinebeck Village Historic District created what's called a special sensitivity zoning overlay.
A special sensitivity overlay. What is that exactly?
Basically, an overlay is an extra, ultra-specific layer of local rules placed right on top of the standard zoning map. It acts as a strict editorial document for the town.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because the literal grammar of this document acts as an invisible wall.
It really does.
It mandates that any new construction must preserve the appearance of a single detached dwelling. And businesses cannot, quote, outwardly appear that they are a business.
Yeah, it's sentence-level preservation. Notice they aren't banning chains outright, which would, immediately invite massive corporate lawsuits.
Right, they just make the aesthetic requirements so incredibly strict that big box stores are physically forced to the town's outer edges.
Exactly. And that legal prose is exactly why independent spots like Oblong Books and Upstate Films continue to thrive in the core today.
Upstate Films, yeah, that local cinema that screened thousands of films over 50 years.
Right. All protected by that strict zoning prose.
They wrote a sentence in 1979, and because of it, they still have their village. It all comes back to the idea that continuous operation is a unit of value. A building that stays quietly dictates the future.
It really forces everything else to adapt to its presence over centuries.
So next time you drive through your own town, look around, find its oldest building, and ask yourself how it quietly dictated the streets you are driving on right now.
That's a great exercise.
And think about this. If a single Dutch tavern from 1766 could permanently dictate the layout, culture, and survival of a 21st century village, what seemingly ordinary structures being built today will silently trap or save the towns of 250 years from now.